Hey, this is Book of Acts Study. This is Russ Dizdar. Glad to be with you today. Book of Acts, let me tell you something. It's all about the early church and the outpouring of the gospel. We're into Acts chapter 2, by the way. Page 37 in your workbooks. We are now at audio 24. Now, in that audio, we're going to be looking at... We call it an e-story, evangelism story. I've told the story of my, and you'll hear all these all the way through, about 30 of them or so. You'll eventually see a companion booklet written, 30 stories of engaging in evangelism and salvation. Well, nothing bigger, nothing better, nothing more important in all the earth that none should perish. Do we believe that? Do we know this is what God desires and wills? As we read, well, 2 Peter chapter 3, no question there. How about Timothy chapter 2? This is good and pleases God. What? The prayers for the lost. Why do we read this? In the context of that gospel and being a witness, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills all, pos anthropos, all humanity to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, when we look at this e-story here today, or listen to this e-story here today, I love telling the stories. There's a lot of the over the, you know, many years, you know, there's the day I got saved, the day filled with the Spirit of God, the day to go start telling people. And truthfully, I had no training other than that I got saved, other than that Christ is in me. Other than that, when somebody witnessed to me and shared the message with me and definitively poured out Christ, the gospel, calling me to repent and turn to Jesus and believe on him. Well, of course, I told you the story and you've heard. I ran and went away until later that night. I didn't know the Spirit of God's going to convict me, convince me with definitive proof, with evidential proof. The Spirit of God is the number one convincer. I believe in apologetics. I believe in talking with people. I believe in signs and wonders. But I believe the Spirit of God, God himself, engaging and speaking into the depths of a person, the Spirit of God working inseparably with the gospel, with the rest of the Word of God. To do what? Well, in the context of that engaging, God is pouring through. God is coming through you. Every Spirit-filled person, this is the exciting thing. As you're pouring out the gospel and wanting people to get saved and joyfully telling people about Jesus, God is pouring through you. God is speaking directly, directly. Now, I'm going to show you a verse later on through this course where Paul talks about the ministry of reconciliation as if God himself were standing inside of us, pouring through, calling a person to that salvation and that reconciliation. Well, love being with you today. Glad you're in this great training. Every week, just take the time, little by little. Maybe you're coming to this later on and you have all the audios. Don't rush through, because studying and learning and stepping out and praying and witnessing, leading somebody to Christ, that's what this is all about, and ingraining the scriptures. And that's one thing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. And I deeply encourage you to memorize, to know. And, well, it's the language of the Spirit of God. It's the sword of the Spirit, that word of God. It's alive. It's living. And that's important also. Now, when we look at this today, I'm thinking in terms of when I first got saved. Now, prior to first getting saved, we were hearing the other guy. There's a guy that was a drug addict, selling drugs, making drugs. He got saved powerfully. He came to the party. I tell the story how he comes to my apartment that I lived in with three other guys, and he just comes in and starts sharing Jesus with everybody. You could see the spiritual dynamic in him. I could say it this way. I saw the clean. I saw the purity. I knew it was God in him. That's why a lot of people ran. That's what happens, because we're sinners. We're lost. The sin nature is hostile to God, and Satan owns us. Of course Satan wants to interrupt that. Of course the old sin nature, it can't, it won't, and it's hostile when it comes to God. But the good news, God's presence, God's power, subdues, convinces, draws us to the hearing of the gospel. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, very good in all this also. So I hope that you've already, in audio 23, have looked into just a little bit I said about John's Gospel 16, the Spirit of God convincing, convicting definitively, in a sense, the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You can count on the Spirit of God doing his work always. Even if somebody picks up a Bible and reads the Gospel of John or a gospel track, a good gospel track, the Spirit of God's going to do his work. And he wants to do it through us. We've been chosen in Christ, I believe, to be those witnesses. That's why when you receive power, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, the most definitive expression, result, is that you become that witness of Jesus. And you, like all of them, whether it's Peter or Paul or Stephen or Philip or Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit, many people being led to the Lord. So I want you to think about you leading hundreds to Christ. That's right. Because God is powerful. He's going to make you stronger, more competent, more confident, more experienced by doing it. And that's vital. The studies are vital. The doing it is the ultimate end of it all. Combined in just growing and learning and stepping out and obeying, well, you just become, no question about the depth of you in Christ. No question about that. And no question about the results in seeing people. I could say in over 40 years, I've never been in a service, never been on the streets, never been in my home, Bible studies in my home. That's been one of the major places of salvation, right in my home, holding Bible studies, inviting people over. You got food, you got fellowship, you got Bible study, you got songs, hymns, singing, people sharing, talking, and then people getting saved. And that's incredible. It's part of the entire work. So in this audio, though, this e-story, I just want to share this. Prior to getting saved, for whatever reason, and I can tell you that I was probably drunk when I said it, to a number of the other guys, they're all making fun of the guy that got saved. They're all making fun of the guy that was witnessing to everybody. They're all making fun of this guy as he's telling people about Jesus. But I remember saying that they shouldn't say this, that God is real, and I encourage them, I challenge them, have they ever read the Bible? Well, I tell the story about how my friend gets saved. He's reading the book of Revelation. He watches on television the War of the Worlds, like an end-time thing. He hears an evangelist preach the gospel, and he receives Christ as Lord and Savior. He hears that gospel. In the context of what God was doing, he hears that gospel. I remember him telling me that in the, and clearly the convincing, convicting work of the Spirit of God, I remember him telling me, he says, I was looking at my hands and he said, God had to have made us. And then hearing the evangelist in the gospel, well, he turned to Jesus. He accepted Christ. I just saw him the other day, 40-some years later, serving Jesus, loves Jesus, still a follower of Jesus. Incredible. The work of salvation and saving us. But here's what I want to tell you today in this e-story. His wife was not saved. This man's wife was not saved. They were young. They were only in their early 20s, and we knew them well. We went to school together. A number of us got saved first, and we began to talk to him and others. This friend of mine, you know what he said? You got to be gullible to believe in all this Bible stuff. That's what he said early on. You got to be gullible. Until people were praying for him. We encouraged him to read the book of Revelation. I don't know why I said that, but I just told him to. And I guess he's tried to start reading the book of Revelation. Watched War of the Worlds, which is pretty amazing to me, kind of a end of the world type movie. But more important, he listened to an evangelist come on late night. And he heard the gospel. It was an evangelistic outreach or crusade or some kind of thing like that. And the next morning is when he got saved. Now, when he got saved, he told me, called me, we got together, we're all rejoicing. The friends were all rejoicing. He's reading his Bible. He's beginning, you know, to talk about it. He's telling his wife. His wife's looking at him like he's a weirdo. His wife is not into it. His wife is not listening. Well, she's lost. The sin nature, hostile to God. It can't submit to God. It doesn't want to turn because Jesus, as the sinless one, convinces of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That night they go to bed. She tells him that unless you turn away and turn back to the way you were, I want a divorce. He held his Bible in his hand. He looked at her and said, if it comes between you, and he held up his Bible and he said this, God, referring to God, he holds up the Bible. He says, I choose God. They went to bed that night. Now, this girl did not like us anymore. She didn't like us. I mean, we were always friends through high school and marriage, and I was at the wedding and everything else, but she didn't like us anymore. Matter of fact, she told us that we ruined her husband. Well, she eventually caved in and went to a evangelist. She didn't know what it was. We took her to an evangelistic meeting. A meeting where the gospel, it'd be like on a Friday night, they had a church that was plotting an outreach thing, and evangelists came in, and we took her to it, and they did songs and special songs and all the rest of what they do. Whole row of us were sitting there. The preacher guy came to the very end of it and unleashed the gospel and sharing and calling people to repentance, to believe in the Lord, to get saved, and to come forward, to pray. Now, I remember looking, everybody's heads are bowed. I'm looking over to my right, and I see my buddy looking at me. We didn't see this girl. I bumped my other buddy, and I said, she left. I think she went out the back door. And he bumped me back and says, no, look forward. She went forward. This wife, this friend of ours, this girl, drawn by the Spirit of God, convinced by the Spirit of God, hearing that gospel again clearly, convicted, she goes forward to bow her knee to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in her life. When she went forward and did that, I can remember the day we were there in that church and we just looked at, we all wanted to hug her. We wanted to lift her up on our shoulders. We are all so excited because we knew that she struggled against, she did what a sinner does. What all sinners do, and they react that way. But nevertheless, let the gospel go. Nevertheless, share Jesus. Nevertheless, pray for them. Nevertheless, love them. And the gospel went out, and she went with us to that evangelistic meeting. And there, powerfully, to this day, 40-some years later, saved, has served the Lord, has taught, has been a witness for sure. I can remember that after she got saved, all of us getting together, taking our Bibles out as new believers. All of us were probably less than a year old in Christ. We're all trying to share what verses we've learned. We're rejoicing together because all of us have come to believe in Jesus. All these friends. And we talked about all our other friends. And all these others were hearing. And our parents were hearing. And our brothers and sisters were hearing. That a bunch of old crazy partying sinners got saved. And this man and this woman, newly married, who knows what their lives would have been like. But both the man came to Jesus and then his wife fought first. Spirit of God and the Word of God and the witness of Jesus brought her to her knees. I do remember the night that she prayed with the preacher up front, that we all started to head towards her. I can remember the brilliant smile that she had. I can remember the kind of, it's over, the struggle, the fight. I can remember the peace. I can remember her looking at us. And in a real sense, her response was, I'm now one of you guys. She believes in Jesus. Guess what? No more struggle, no more running, no more anger. No more cussing at us. She's now a believer in Jesus. She's now born again. She now knows the Lord Jesus. She's now in the family. And what a great fellowship we've all had together. And all of us. Well, good news. I don't get to see them all that much anymore. we'll all, when Jesus comes, we'll all be together and see each other again there. Well, listen, that's part of the stories. Do you have any e-stories yet, evangelism stories? Page 257 in your workbook. Write down all the names of the lost, family members, friends, workmates, whomever God reminds you of. 10 people, 20 people, 30 people. Keep adding to it. Use the prayer workbook that we have. It has even more pages that you can journal. Write down all those names and keep going after them. I still do that. Almost every night I'm praying for my sister. I'm praying for my cousin. I'm praying for others and family. And we pray for the neighborhood, praying for their salvation. I think that when we read this in Timothy 2 about praying for the lost, about interceding for the lost, here's what God says, the Holy Spirit. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wills all men, all humanity, to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That is the glorious thing. You want people saved? God wants them saved even more. Nobody wants people saved more than God himself. Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Good news is, even as sinners, when we run, God pursues. And the God and God in you, God, Christ in you, the Spirit of God in you. That's why I pursue people. That's why I go back after them. That's why I keep them in prayer. That's why when they reject, my father rejected for 23 years. I'll tell you the story in detail later. But he finally got saved. I'm not going away. And I'm going to keep engaging, engaging, engaging. I'll talk about later on, if the Spirit of God tells you to stop, or you know, if they've gone beyond that point, but I've never had that happen. There's people that I know that did not, my uncle did not get saved. He died before I got back there to the hospital. He heard, he rejected, he was vehemently, vulgarly opposed. I believe he lost his soul forever. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but to save it. I'm going out there to get people saved. I'm going out there to unleash the gospel. Take a moment today to read Book of Romans chapter 10, all that it says about evangelism and people calling on the Lord. Keep praying for the lost, family members, all those people around you. Please remember, whether you're a mom or dad or grandmother or grandfather or whoever you have within the circle of your family, extended family, neighborhood, friends that you've had for life, God desires their salvation. And according to 2 Peter chapter 3, he's not willing that any should perish. Book of Acts, as we prepare for chapter 2.